49. Radon Shadow. Fontaine finds the boy an old camping pad, left here by his children, perhaps, and lays him back on this, still snoring. Removing the heavy iPhones, he sees how the boy sleeps with his eyes half open, showing the white. Imagines watches ticking past there, one after another. He covers him with an old sleeping bag whose faded flannel liner depicts mountains and bears, and then takes his miso back to the counter to think. There is a faint vibration now, the weather of the shop's flimsy fabric, the bones of the bridge, or the underlying plates of the earth, he cannot tell. But small sounds come from the shelves and cabinets as tiny survivors of the past register this new motion. A lead soldier, on one shelf, topples forward with a definitive clack, and Fontaine makes a mental note to buy more museum wax, a sticky substance meant to prevent this. Fontaine, seated on his high stool behind the counter, sipping gingerly at his hot miso, wonders what exactly he would see were he to follow the boy's course today via the notebook's recall function, that business with the lockboxes and Marshall getting all worked up. Where else might the boy have been? But nowhere really dangerous, Fontaine decides, if he's only chasing watches. But how was it he did that? Got those lockbox lists? Fontaine puts the miso down and fishes the Jaeger LeCoultre from his pocket. He reads the ordnance marks on its back. G6B/346. RA-AF. 172/53. The 6B denoting a particular grade of movement, degree of accuracy, he knows, though the 346 is a mystery. The broad arrow, central, the Queen's mark, her property. 53, the year of issue. But 172? Could the boy somehow pry knowledge from these numbers if the question could be put to him? Somewhere out there, Fontaine knows, every last bit of information makes its way into the stream. He puts the watch down on his Rolex pad and takes up the salty miso again. Looking down through the scratch-frosted glass countertop, he notices a recent purchase, not yet examined. A Helbros from the 1940s, styled after military watches, but not an issue watch. Something he bought from a scavenger down from the Oakland Hills. He reaches into the counter and brings it out. A shabby thing after the G6B. Its bezel is badly dinged, probably too badly to benefit from buffing, and the luminous on the dull black dial has gone a shade of silvery ash. He takes his loop from his other pocket and screws it into his eye, turning the Helbros under his 10-power Cyclops gaze. The case back has been removed, screwed back in, but left untightened. He turns it out with his fingers to check inside for minute graven records of its repair history. He squints through the loop. The last repair date etched into the inside back is August 1945. He turns it over again and studies it. The crystal is synthetic, some sort of plastic, definitely vintage, and very probably original. Because, he sees, holding it at just this certain angle to the light, radiation from the original radium numerals has darkened the crystal focally, each number having in effect radiographed itself in the accidental plate of the crystal. And somehow this, combined with the hidden date, gives Fontaine a shiver. So he puts the case back into place, replaces the Helbros in the counter, checks the locks on the door, finishes his miso, and starts to ready himself for bed. The boy, on his back, is no longer snoring, and that is a good thing. When Fontaine lies down on his own narrow bunk to sleep, the Smith & Wesson kit gun, as it is every night, is at the ready.